Later, Kenna happened to be in a recording studio with one of his friends, who's a producer. There was a man there named Danny Wimmer, who worked with Fred Durst, the lead singer of a band called Limp Bizkit, which was then one of the most popular rock bands in the country. Danny listened to Kenna's music. He was entranced. He called Durst and played him one of Kenna's songs, Free Time, over the phone. Durst said, "Sign him." Then Paul McGuinness, the manager of U2, the world's biggest rock band, heard Kenna's record and flew him to Ireland for a meeting. Next, Kenna made a music video for Next to Nothing for one of his songs and took it to MTV2, the MTV channel for more serious music lovers. Record companies spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on promotion, trying to get their videos on MTV, and if they can get them broadcast 100 or 200 times, they consider themselves very lucky. Kenna walked his video over to MTV himself, and MTV ended up playing it 475 times over the next few months. Kenna then made a complete album. He gave it to Kalman again, and Kalman gave the album to all of his executives at Atlantic. "Everyone wanted it," Kalman remembers. "That's amazingly unusual." Soon after Kenna's success, opening for No Doubt in Los Angeles, his manager got a call from the Roxy, a local nightclub that is prominent in the city's rock music scene. "Did Kenna want to play the following night?" "Yes," he said, and then posted a message on his website announcing his appearance. That was at 4:30 the day before the show. By the next afternoon, we got a call from the Roxy. They were turning people away. "I figured we'd have at most 100 people," Kenna says. "It was jam-packed, and the people up front were singing along to all the lyrics. It tripped me out." In other words, people who truly know music, the kind of people who run record labels, go to clubs, and know the business well, love Kenna. They hear one of his songs, and in the blink of an eye, they think, "Wow." More precisely, they hear Kenna, and their instinct is that he is the kind of artist whom other people, the mass audience of music buyers, are going to like. But this is where Kenna runs into a problem, because whenever attempts have been made to verify this instinct that other people are going to like him, other people haven't liked him. When Kenna's album was making the rounds in New York, being considered by music industry executives, on three separate occasions, it was given to an outside market research firm, as is common practice in the industry. Record executives are understandably cautious. In order to be successful, an artist has to get played on the radio. And radio stations will play only a small number of songs that have been proven by market research to appeal immediately and overwhelmingly to their audience. So, before they commit millions of dollars to signing an artist, record companies will spend a few thousand dollars to test his or her music first, using the same techniques as the radio stations. There are firms, for example, that post new songs on the web and then collect and analyze the ratings of anyone who visits the website and listens to the music. Other companies play songs over the phone or send sample CDs to a stable of raters. Hundreds of music listeners end up voting on particular songs, and over the years, the rating systems have become extraordinarily sophisticated. Pick the Hits, for instance, a rating service outside Washington, D.C., has a base of 200,000 people who from time to time rate music. And they have learned that if a song aimed, say, at top 40 radio, listeners 18 to 24, averages above 3.0 on a scale of 1 to 4, where 1 is, "I dislike the song," there's roughly an 85% chance that it will be a hit. These are the kind of services that Kenna's record was given to, and the results were dismal. Music Research, a California-based firm, sent Kenna's CD to 1,200 people, pre-selected by age, gender, and ethnicity. They then called them up 3 days later and interviewed as many as they could about what they thought of Kenna's music on a scale of 0 to 4. The response was, as the conclusion to the 25-page Kenna report stated politely, subdued. One of his most promising songs, Free Time, came in at 1.3 among listeners to rock stations and 0.8 among listeners to R&B stations. Pick the Hits rated every song on the album, with 2 scoring average ratings and 8 scoring below average. The conclusion was even more blunt this time. Kenna as an artist and his songs lack a core audience and have limited potential to gain significant radio airplay. Kenna once ran into Paul McGuinness, the manager of U2, backstage at a concert. "This man right here," McGuinness said, pointing at Kenna, "he's going to change the world." That was his instinctive feeling. And the manager of a band like U2 is a man who knows music. But the people whose world Kenna was supposed to be changing, it seemed, couldn't disagree more. And when the results of all of the consumer research came in, Kenna's once promising career suddenly stalled. To get on the radio, there had to be hard evidence that the public liked him. And the evidence just wasn't there.